of the Lord changes us. Changes us from glory to glory into the same image as the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whenever I'm away, I'll do anything I can to get back here for Sunday worship. Same with you. I can't miss it. I need it. Week by week, I need the presence of the Lord and to worship Him as we worship Him here. It just changes you. And that verse says it all. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord in worship as He manifests Himself to each and every one of us. It changes us. I need change. Anybody else? Woo! Amen. There's hope, and He can and He is. You've already been changed, but He is not finished with us yet. Good news. Good news. There is more to come. And that's really what I would like to talk about this morning is change. Change. And David did this to me. The other day last Sunday, I believe it was, when he was looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and talked about metamorphosis. I thought, wow, you know, I spent the week meditating on that and looking at it, and I would like just to begin with it as somewhat of an introduction to where we're going. I beseech you, brethren, I beg you, hear the voice of the Lord. Hear the Lord speaking to you. I beg you, I beseech you. The Holy Spirit is pleading with each one of us. By the mercies of God, He appeals to the mercies of God. How great are His mercies? Oh, you know, if we just meditate on His mercy every morning, spend some time meditating, ask the Holy Spirit to help me understand the mercies of God, it will draw your heart. And you will want to then, the next part of that sentence, that verse, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Amen? You know, Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man, and He presented His body unto death. A sacrifice unto death. He died for us. We will never have to die, but He does ask you and me now, if we love Him, if we care, to show our appreciation that we present our body a living sacrifice, that He might live in us, that this world might see the glory of God in and through each and every one of our lives, wherever we go, day by day, that other people might see there is hope, and that you would have a word of hope, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a word to encourage people wherever you are. Change. Change. And it begins with presenting your body, morning by morning, just presenting your body. Lord, here I am. And like Moses, any old bush should do, right? It just happens to be in the presence where the Lord wants you to be that day. And somebody show up. You're the bush. Let His glory, let His fire flow through you and touch and change the lives of people. But it begins with us doing what He's begging us to do. The world needs to see Christian lives who have been changed and are not like the world. That have a difference, that can present a hope and a direction. And that's exactly what He says. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. That word, for the most part, means set apart. Holy means set apart to the Lord. Holy. Acceptable to God. That is our only reasonable service. Serving Him is very simple. It's not a matter of a bunch of do's or whatever. It's just simply, I just start the day off. Lord, I am a living sacrifice to You. I'll live for You. Jesus, have Your way in my life. And touch not the unclean thing. Come out from among them. He told us in Corinthians, touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father to you. And He will manifest His glory through you. Acceptable to God. This is our reasonable service. It's simple, serving the Lord, don't you think? That makes it simple. It's not difficult, but it goes on. The pleading goes on. Do not be conformed to this world. Oh, my goodness. 31 years of my life, I was thoroughly conformed to the world 20 years ago. Mathematicians in the crowd. I was thoroughly conformed to this world. Taught me everything, and I acted whatever. But now He's pleading with us, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's where David got us and reminded us that the Greek word there, transformed, is the Greek word metamorphosis. And what does that mean? What does that bring to mind? Butterfly. Oh my, what a revelation, what a demonstration of change the Lord gave us in that simple little caterpillar crawling in the dust of the earth. Beloved, you don't want to stay there. I guarantee you, you don't want to stay in the dust and dirt of this earth. What did the Lord tell the serpent in Genesis chapter 3? On your belly you shall go, and dust shall be your meat all the days of your life. If you're conformed to this world, living in the dirt, and it is getting dirtier and dirtier, don't live there. Come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That metamorphic change, going through a change, just like from crawling in the dust, from being going in that cocoon, and then ever many days or months later, that resurrection, soaring in the air above the dirt of this world. And that's the change that can happen in each and every one of our lives that the Holy Spirit can bring about. Totally changed. Change comes day by day in all of our lives from one degree of glory to the next, more into His image and into His likeness. I'll never forget, a couple of years after we were born again, the Lord spoke as a Romans 6:4 to me. We were buried with Him through baptism into death. When He died, I died. If you'll make that real in your life, that when He died for you, that I'm dead, that we no longer... I broke my chain. Help me remember it. We were buried with Him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. That's transformation. That's metamorphosis. That's what He's doing in each in our life. We should do that. By simply offering our bodies, and the power of the Holy Spirit will live His life through you, and it's any old bush will do. It is easy. If we will not be conformed to this world, but renew this computer. I mean, it's full of viruses. It needs a McAfee. It needs a Norton. It needs a virus cleaner, a sweeper. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit can do that. Reprogram this thing up here, but it won't happen unless you're spending a lot of time in the Word of God. Renew your mind. Renew your thinking. Not according to the world's thinking. If to the degree that we think like that, He's got you. That serpent on His belly and the dust has got you. And He brings multitudes of problems into our life because our reasoning and our thinking is wrong and we make bad decisions. But when we lit the Holy Spirit, we knew our mind. It all begins here. So not being conformed to the world, we've got to ask ourselves the question, do I spend more time in front of that television set, movies, than I do in the Word of God? I'm not going to answer that out loud, but it's really convicted me that I really need to get back in the Word much, much more than I have been. Turn that television off. It's trying to conform you to the ways of this world. It's trying to change you from dirt to dirt to filth, and it's happening in our nation. It's happening in our generation, younger generations. I'll never forget what was said by a great teacher. What one generation accepts in moderation, the next generation will indulge in, and the third generation will take it to excess. And we're seeing that more immorality doing exactly that throughout this nation. The Lord would have to, as someone well said, the Lord would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah from the way we're going. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 2, I believe it is, says, the Lord judged Sodom and Gomorrah, let it be a lesson to those who would live ungodly thereafter. The renewing of our mind. Isaiah 5:13 says, my people are led away into exile, captivity by the serpent, for their lack of knowledge of the ways of God. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for my people, God's people, and we see that around us all the time, God's people being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Dramatic change, greater power is what we need in our life. I like what we were singing. I won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. The world is ordinary. We can't sing that song unless we mean it. I will not be satisfied with anything ordinary. I want a supernatural, born-again, spirit-filled life, not only for my sake, but for my wife, my children, and the next generations. There's got to be change, and it has to begin with you and me. It has to begin with us. We are the home, the Lord, and the message, the gospel is the only hope for this nation. They need leadership. This nation is looking for leadership, people that are filled with the glory of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we also sang, I jotted both of those down in my notes, I see a new generation rising up to take its place. Was in one of those. Hallelujah! Yes, yes. Young people, a new generation. Don't be conformed to what all is going on at school in those ways. The world needs a new generation. They will follow you, righteousness. They will follow somebody who presents joy and peace rather than trying to fill it with all that empty stuff that the world is seeking. Metamorphic change from crawling in the dust of this world. Where do we spend more time? To soaring in the air, looking down at it with compassion and concern, having a heavenly view of what's going on around us. So, that's introduction to, we want to talk about the Holy Spirit and His ministry. And we begin in Genesis, and we're headed to Revelation. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the very beginning. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was there, hovering over the surface of the waters, hovering to bring change. Hovering to bring change. Wherever there is darkness, wherever there is void, emptiness, the Holy Spirit is there. He's hovering over you. He wants to fill. He wants to change the darkness into light. He wants to fill the void, the emptiness, with His presence, with joy and peace and Himself. He wants to fill the void and emptiness in our life. That word hovering is also found in Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, where it talks about an eagle, as an eagle hovers over her nest to protect what's hers, the Holy Spirit hovers over everything God created to protect what belongs to the Lord. He's been hovering over each and every one of our lives, even before we were born again. Long before, He was there. Hovering over, pleading with us, guiding us, leading us. I was pretty stubborn. 31 years before I began to sense that and begin to yield to Him. And it dramatically, talk about metamorphosis. It was a dramatic change. Dramatic change. Moving to bring purpose and value out of the emptiness. Light, truth, righteousness. To bring you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that marvelous light is in each and every one of us. And the Lord wants to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice that marvelous light might give light to this dark world. And that's the Holy Spirit's job. He's hovering over us to accomplish just that. So, the Holy Spirit upon is the anointing for ministry. And it's very important in this study that we understand the difference between the Holy Spirit in every believer and the Holy Spirit upon as an anointing to empower us to accomplish His purpose. And it begins in Exodus chapter 30, anointed, set apart for ministry. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, take also for yourself of the finest spices, and you shall make of these a holy anointing oil. And with it you shall anoint everything that has to do with serving the Lord. The tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the table, the utensils, the lampstands, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, all of this, the laver and everything. And you shall consecrate them. That anointing comes upon us to set us apart. I mean, it changes us. We want to come apart, not be a part of this world. And to consecrate means set apart. And it says, you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them. Consecrate means set apart. The anointing of the Holy Spirit coming upon our life is what sets us apart, makes a change in our life, a metamorphosis from everyone else. And he does that for all of his ministers. Every minister, that's what Aaron and all of his sons represented, an Old Testament example in learning for us. Ministers of the Lord. Will all the ministers in this room please raise your hand? Hallelujah. David, you're doing a great job. Great job. The Holy Spirit is upon you to do the very same thing, to set you apart, to consecrate you, to empower you to be a minister for Him. The Lord chose who would be His priest. All New Testament believers are priests. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18. God reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's your ministry. Your ministry is as a minister of the Lord, your ministry is to reconcile people to God. And to reconcile, that means make right relationships. To reconcile is to restore to a right relationship. It begins at home. It begins by working right here to restore and make sure a right relationship is always between me and my wife. No matter what happens, no matter what she says, no matter what she does, my ministry is not to get angry, defend myself, or I'm back in the dust of this world, the world's way. My ministry is to bring right relationships, no matter if it costs me death to self. Yes? Yes? Be careful saying that. Oh, my goodness. But, beloved, that's what He wants. That's what the world needs. That's what you need. You cannot defend yourself, or you're back in the world's ways. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Leave it to Him. He'll correct things. You just concentrate on reconciliation, reconciling, making sure every relationship is right, and doing what you can to help others have a right relationship in their marriages, in their families, and with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was working through Christ, and He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Jesus, reconciling not only us, but the whole world to Himself, and He's given unto us that word of reconciliation. 1 Corinthians 5:19. Be reconcilers. And you can do it through the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Upon in prophesying, Moses in the wilderness desperately needed help. David appreciated. Trying to pastor a million people. Can you imagine that? They weren't born again or spirit-filled. Oh my goodness. What a job. Moses is crying out, God, these are your people. They're not mine. You brought us out here. I didn't do it. Where are you? And so the Lord says, we'll raise up 70 more. I'll give you some help, Moses. And He raised up 7, Numbers 11. Elders of Israel, whom the elders make of their offering in the morning, and the Lord comes down and He says, I will take of the Spirit that is upon you, and I will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with you. See, the Lord, it's not your burden. When the Lord gives you a job, the Holy Spirit comes upon you and gives you the strength and power to do it. The Lord, and I'm a good example of that. Katie and I are a good example that the Lord sent us to India. I grew up from the very beginning when I'd occasionally go to church and hear a missionary talk. I said, never for me. I don't even like to camp out. I like a soft bed every night. But the Lord sent us to India and Asia, and the anointing of the Lord came upon us, and it was easy. Wasn't it, Katie? Sometimes it's pretty hard. Those bamboo floor beds in the Philippines. David. But the Lord gives you a pillow. He gives you comfort. And you'll bear the burden with them. Then the Lord came down the cloud and spoke to David, and the Spirit was upon him and placed it upon the 70s. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. What is that? It has to be more than just simply, the word means speaking forth for the Lord, but it has to be more than that. It had to be something so dramatic and obvious and that everybody recognized it. All of the people recognized, whoa, that's change. They're not the same. Something has happened in their life, and everybody recognized that. And they prophesied. Verse 27, so a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad, they're prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the attendant of Moses in his youth, said, Moses, Moses restrained them. They're not supposed to be out there and among the people doing all of this prophecy and ministry work. Get them in here. Get them in the tent of meeting. You recognize that? Religious spirit. Trying to keep the work of the Lord contained within the walls. God doesn't want it within the walls. That same religious spirit has kept the church within the walls too long. You go in I'm serious about it. You go in most churches and ask who's the minister, you know what's going to be, what they'll say. We just come to church on Sunday. That's his job. And so this very same spirit has confined us, a religious spirit in jealousy for the ministry. I'm the minister. Has hindered the work of the Lord. And perhaps what's happening in our nation today is because the church has been kept within the walls throughout this nation too long. Who's going to make a change? Who's going to be different? Who's going to be metamorphosized by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, offering ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord? Moses had it right. Verse 29, Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets. The Lord would put his spirit upon them. Yes! Prophecy. And that's exactly what the Lord did in the New Testament. That's exactly what the Lord has done for all of us. Deuteronomy, then, Joshua the son of Nun was filled with the spirit and wisdom when Moses laid his hands upon him. Now, we're going to see through this study the Holy Spirit coming upon a person and the words filled go together. They're linked together time and time again, the coming upon and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the book of Judges, change those judges' lives. Whoever was going to minister for the Lord, Othniel, Holy Spirit came upon him. He judged Israel. God gave him the power, gave him the wisdom, gave him the ability. Any old bush would do. He came upon Gideon, least in his family, totally changed his life. And look what Gideon did. And he can do the same through you. He's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. He's looking for any old bush that will make themselves available. Are you available? Hello? How many are available? All right. Expect great things. Your life is going to change. And it's going to make a difference around the people you live with and work with. Saul, anointed for king. I'm hurrying. We'll be through in just a minute. 1 Samuel 10:1. Samuel took the flask of oil and poured it where? On his head and kissed him and said, has the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance? Afterward, you'll come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it shall be as soon as you've come there to the city that you'll meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and a lyre before them, and they'll be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you will prophesy, Saul, and be changed into another man. Hallelujah. Changed. Everybody said at the very beginning, I want change in my life. The Holy Spirit can do it. The Holy Spirit wants to do it. The Lord wants to do it. And it will happen. Prophesied and be changed into another man. In verse 9, then it happened when he turned his back to leave Samuel. God changed his heart. Then all those signs came about that day. And when they came to a hill, a group of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him mightily. So that he prophesied among them. And it came about when all who knew him previously saw that he prophesied now with the prophets, the people said to one another, what has happened to the son of Kish? What has happened to Saul? Beloved, has anyone ever said that about you? They need to. They need to. If you'll simply offer your body as a living sacrifice, morning by morning, day by day, the Spirit of the Lord will do it. It'll be easy, no problem for you, no effort for you. It will just come natural if you just turn him loose. Turn him loose. He will do it. King Saul's disobedience. 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel replied, what is pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifice. Saul, over and over and time again, disobeyed the Lord. And so Samuel says to him, what is more pleasing, your burnt offerings and sacrifices? Remember, he was going to offer some burnt offerings to the Lord to try to get the Lord to think that the Lord would be let him go and not so he wouldn't have to do what the Lord told him to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Coming to church on Sunday won't do it. Obedience is better than any sacrifice. Listening to him is much better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as bad as the sin of witchcraft. It opens the door for that serpent when you're in that dust with him to attack your life. Rebellion is as bad as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. Oh my, talking to me. Is as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king. Not rejecting Saul from being one of his, no, but rejecting the ministry that he had given him because he totally refused to do what the Lord asked him to do. He was still the Lord's man. Acts 5:32, the Holy Spirit is given to those that obey. He did not lose his eternal life. Hang on with me. I've got to read Psalm 89, verse 30, to make this point. Saul was still the Lord's. He lost his ministry by not obeying, but he was still the Lord's. Verse 30, Psalm 89. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod. Any father would. And their iniquity with stripes. But I will not break off my loving kindness from him. I will not. No matter what he does, the Lord is saying. He's speaking to you. No matter what you have done. No matter what might happen. You are the Lord's. And he says, I will not break off my loving kindness from you. Nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. My covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. Psalm 89, you're his forever, no matter what you do. You're his forever. But he's a loving father, and love disciplines. There's a much easier way to learn when mama tells you the stove is hot. There's two ways to learn. Yes? I try to learn the easy way. The results of Saul's disobedience, Acts 13, after he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he testified and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart. He will do my will. That's what the Lord is looking for. Anyone who David, I'm going to anoint him. He will do this ministry. He will do all of my will. Then the Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, the Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Verse 14, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. If you want to live in the dust and dirt of the world, he'll let you. But you don't want to be there, I don't think. We've been there too long. We have too many problems in our life because we have been conformed to the image of this world, thinking, doing what everybody else is doing, instead of being transformed by the renewing of our mind. I believe I'll finish this another time. It's already so late. Transformation. I beseech you, brethren, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you offer your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord, which is your only reasonable way to serve him. I beseech you and beg you, do not be conformed to this world, but let the Holy Spirit metamorphosize you, break you out of that dust and dirt of this world, break you out of that cocoon to soar with the Lord in the heavenlies. Let's pray. Lord, I know that's the prayer from each and every heart here this morning. And Lord, right now, we each and every one, I offer my body to you as your temple. You redeemed it. You purchased it with your own blood. You've cleansed it, washed it, sanctified it with your own blood. It's yours. My body is yours, Lord. And I will do nothing that the world would want me to do. I want to hear your voice, Holy Spirit. I want to obey you. I don't want to be like King Saul. I want to obey you. I want to be different. I need to be changed. Help me, Holy Spirit. Renew my mind with your word. Come upon my life. Let your anointing power come upon my life to make me the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen.